Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is again in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Always great joy, for that is truly your nature, to be in joy, to enjoy everything that you create, and to know the freedom of that divinity to create, and then to bless it with your consciousness, with your knowing that you have created it and you may call it good. Now, beloved ones, is there an awakened Christ in this room? Very good. How many of you remembered in the morning to wake up as the awakened Christ? Yes, very good. For truly, last evening was a turning point for you. It was a lifting of the veil. It was a time when you said, yes, I am ready, I am willing, I am able. And you, even as you left this room last evening, there was a different vibration about you. You felt some of the heaviness of the world that had been upon the shoulders lifted, and you felt yourself to go more lightly, even to the dwelling place. Some of you were enlivened to the place where you did not sleep, as they call it, for a while. I joined you in your wakefulness, for truly, it is a very good place to abide. And then the body said, I will rest a bit. And you did rest a bit, which was great. In this day, how many of you, and I'll be truthful, how many of you had a feeling of separated ego from time to time come up and raise its head? Oh, come on. We will have some truth here. Of course. Because separated ego has been your companion for eons of time. As we spoke last evening, there has been quite a history of companionship with separated ego. And it has been your friend and your journey fellow for many, many, many lifetimes. So, of course, it was going to come up again today and speak with you. But you were able to say, I recognize you. And it is okay that you are here. Oftentimes, there is teaching that you must fight the ego, that you must put it down, that you must say that it is wrong, and you must make it go away. Well, as you have seen, the more you fight with it, the more it stays with you. And as you have been feeling in this day, as you recognized it as friend and companion, you have said, okay, it is okay if you walk with me, but I do not have to feel separated any longer. And separated ego said, it's okay with me. I was willing to play that role for a while, quite a long while. But now we have a new role, a new relationship separated ego has with you. And separated ego will come and speak to you in the days to come. It will come and it will say, how do you feel about this? Or something else will come up. How do you feel about this other thing? How do you feel about him? How do you feel about her? How do you feel about what's coming in the future, etc.? And that is good, because you have asked separated ego to bring you on the silver platter all the possibilities of what you can look at and how you can react, how you can judge or not judge, how you can look at everything. That is truly the role of separated ego, is just to come running on stage and say, Master, how do you feel about whatever is happening? That is its only role. It is not to trip you up, but it is just to offer you opportunity to look at something. So now you say, oh good, I see that, but I see it now in a different way, because I am the awakened Christ. I am free. I am free to choose. I am free to choose to stay in judgment if I want to. But you know, when I do that, there's certain feelings in the body when I'm in judgment. Have you noticed that? Okay. And maybe I choose not to have those feelings in the body. Or maybe I do choose to have them for a while, and then later on to release them. Whatever. There is no universal judgment that is judging you. It is only your own judgment, as you hold it, that judges you, because you're holding it, and it doesn't feel all that great sometimes. So separated ego has taken on a new role now, a more, not intimate role, but a more oneness role with you, as opposed to being separate from you. Because you have seen it up to now in all the other lifetimes as being separate from you and something that you had to push away back into the wings again. Well, you've seen again what you do when you separate and you say, okay, I'm separate from you, I don't want to deal with you, off into the wings. It'll go into the wings, and then back on stage it comes again. Now you can say, okay, take my hand, walk with me. It is okay, I'm not afraid of you. Because you see, the feeling of separation and the feeling of wanting to get rid of it has come from fear. A separated ego has no power over you. It has always been your friend, your servant. So now when it comes up and you start to feel a judgment or a difference in your self-image that perhaps, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to do the case reading as well as anyone else. any of you feel that way today? Of course. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. All of you, to some extent, felt, oh, well, okay, I'll persevere with this, but I don't really want to put myself to the test. And then what happened? All of you found that you were one, in one mind, as you would allow the intellect to sit in the corner with a white rose, as beloved elder has given you that tool, and to go to the love level, the inner level within you. There was a connectedness, a oneness that you felt with the partners you were working with. And miracle of miracles, you knew what they were thinking. You knew what was going on. And the feeling of separation was gone. You proved to yourself that truly there is no separation. Very good. I watched you as you played today, and I watched the light of you glowing, even in times when you doubted your own light. It was brighter today than it has been for many, many lifetimes. You are allowing yourself to live in love. You are allowing yourself to live in excitement of new discovery. And yes, you had questions about what you could do, how it would be, but the light was freer around you, and it will continue in the days to come. When you leave this gathering, when you go back to your regular dwelling place, ones are going to look at you and they're going to say, there's something different about you. I'm not quite sure what it is, but you look different. You don't seem to be quite so caught up into all of the turmoil and question marks of the world. They won't maybe say it in those words, but they'll feel a difference and they'll see a difference. They'll see what is happening. Because you are going to be perceiving everything differently, and you are going to be reacting and acting differently than you have in the past. Acting with much more courage. Your words are great clues. The word courage, as has been explained many times to you, comes from the heart. Kur, from the heart. When you live from the heart, you are not afraid. You have great courage. And as you return to your regular geographical locations and you go back to what was the routine that you had before, you are going to be a new person. Already you are. And you are going to have great courage to just live in freedom. There are going to be instances that are going to come up with questions. You're going to have people come up to you and they're going to say, I know you've been away for a while. You look a bit different. What happened? And you will find the words to share with them what they are able to receive. Now, you're probably not going to give them the whole nine yards. If you try to do that, well, they go to sleep, actually. But you will give them a taste of it. And even if you do not use words, they are going to feel a difference because you are having the courage to perceive everything differently. I choose to see things differently. As you have a very famous writing that says that. And I am willing to see things differently. Well, you have been willing, and you have chosen, and now it is happening. Very good. You are going to have much more joy in the days to come, personally, for yourself. You are going to feel much more free, even though others will look upon appearances and say, well, you still have the same challenges to deal with, relationships, co-workers, whatever. But you are going to feel much happier with everything that comes to you because you are going to know your power, not as the world knows power, but as the divinity of you knows power, the power of one, the power of the Christ, the power of freedom, the power to be in joy and to choose joy. So you're going to be feeling as a new person. Yay.
Yay!
It is why you chose to come, to make trek to this gathering. There was a deep knowing, deep within inside of you, not a conscious knowing for some of you. For others of you, yes, you have experienced it before, but you didn't know exactly the depth that was going to be happening. But there was a knowing deep within you that there was going to be something powerful, something life-changing, something that you didn't want to miss this time around. Because truly, the message that has been spoken in this time we have been together has been spoken other lifetimes to you. You have been the ones from time to time who have spoken the message as you read the text, as you interpreted the signs of nature. You have been the ones who were the masters who spoke. But you have come this lifetime one more time out of great courage to live in this day and time as the brothers and sisters, to be amongst them and to share your light. And then to come to a place where you felt yourself right now, last evening and right now, you felt yourself gifted with the light that you have been so willing to share with others, to live in the awareness of the realized Christ. So I welcome you home. Welcome home once again. You are going to be feeling free. Yes, you are going to have tasks that you're going to have to fulfill, of course. You would not want it otherwise. It would be quite boring. So you are going to create, you are going to interact with brothers and sisters, but you are going to be interacting from your own new place of understanding of who you are and why you are. That is what I'm trying to, and not only trying to, but what I am sharing with you right now, why you are. Because you have chosen to have this incarnation, to allow your light to shine, and to allow yourself in the gifting of that to know your own light, to be the realized Christ, to be able to see and feel your own light. Now, for many lifetimes, you have been the servants of the light. You have said unto the Father, Mother, God, all that is, I will go one more time into a reality that yet believes in the possibility of darkness. I will go, and I will be the light. And so you chose one more time to come in this incarnation, to walk with the brothers and sisters, and to go through the same challenges, the same stages of life, to bear the children, to see them grow up, to have the challenges of co-workers and friends, friends who were short-time friends. You all know those who are short-time, and you know the long-time friends, the ones who are with you through thick and thin and who do not leave you ever, no matter what happens. I will walk that path, you have said, once again, and I will allow my light to shine, because I know deep within me that I am the light. But this time, I want to know my light. I want to feel it for myself. I want the healing of that light to shine forth into everything that I do, everyone I speak to, everything I touch. I want to see, truly see, the light that I am, and also the light that others are, and so that I can mirror it back to them. I want to be in realized consciousness, the Christ that always I have been. So that is why you are here. That is why you have chosen one more time to come into a reality that is not the easiest reality. In truth, it is not the harshest, it's not the worst, but it's not the easiest either, because there is the belief in duality and all of the gradations between what would be seen as not so good and what would be seen as perfection. You have all of your different levels. Well, you can go up and down, or you can go across linearly, whatever. And you are in the reality that yet believes in separation. But you are not any longer in that reality. You understand it when others speak of it. And you can say, yes, I can relate to that. I understand what you are feeling, what you're going through. But, you know, I found a different way of looking at it. I found a way of singing my way through life. I have found a way of smiling my way through life. I have found a way of just being happy for seemingly no reason at all. It just bubbles up inside of me. And I have seen this happen with some of you, where you will be in a grouping that perhaps is very intellectual and trying to find a reason, a logical reason for everything, and all of a sudden it comes upon you, the humor of the situation, and you begin to laugh. And ones look at you and they say, well, how can you take it so lightly? This is a very serious situation. There must be a very logical explanation for everything. And you say, well, I'm sure there is, but you know, it's kind of funny the way we're sitting here being so serious about this. And at that moment, you have given opportunity of opening a door, a window, a crack, or even more than a crack, for them to walk through into a new reality, a new understanding. Sometimes they will take you up on it, and they'll walk through. Sometimes they will say, as they did to me with my message that I wanted to share with ones, that life is good. They will say, they might say, as they did to me, that man is a fool. Mm-hmm. That woman is crazy. How can she feel so happy? Look what she's going through. The mate has work part of the time. Part of the time he doesn't have work. Right. Sometimes they don't know if the golden coins are going to come in. Sometimes they don't know what is going to be, and this is true for all of you, what the future holds. How can she be happy? How can he be happy? What is there to be happy about? Look at the state of the world. Oh my goodness. How can you possibly be happy when you know that so many of your brothers and sisters are suffering? You've heard that. And it has troubled you because you have felt that you are responsible for them. Your heart, each and every one of you, is of compassionate heart. And you would change things for all of the brothers and sisters if you could. You would go and give them whatever they needed. And you would say to them, as I wanted to and did say to many of the fellow countrymen, There's another way of living. And some of you have had opportunity to travel to other geographical locations and to interact with ones who have different viewpoints. In the days to come, all of you are going to have opportunity to travel or to do the correspondence, the email, even the telephone, whatever communication you choose, to speak with ones in what you term far lands, and to be able to share with them the possibility that maybe there's another way to see things. Perhaps they do not have to fight with each other. Perhaps there is not truth in poverty. In the days to come, all of you are going to be interacting with what you see the brothers and sisters now to be far removed from you geographically. You are going to be traveling, or you are going to be emailing, or you're going to be writing the books that go out, or doing the paintings, the artistic work that goes out as inspiration. All of you are going to have your own unique impact upon changing that which hurts your heart right now. Because all of you, if you were in direct communication, and you can be and will be, would say to a brother or sister, come to my home. I will feed you. I will clothe you. I will take you by the hand, and I will help you find employment somewhere. I will teach you a trade. And you will be doing this in the future. Already you are in process of doing it, because the ideas have come to you. You have yet to put it into manifest action because you haven't quite figured out how to do it. But the idea has been there already. You have felt it, and it is in process of happening. So you need not sit upon the chair or within the sound of my voice and say, I am failing because I am not doing something to relieve the suffering of the brothers and sisters. In truth, you are. You are already in process of doing it as you have the ideas that have come to you. We spoke previously about the belief in linear time and how there is a beginning and a process of the time. And it is difficult to judge where you are in that linear time as you are in it. You are well beyond the middle point of the linear time because you have been where the brothers and sisters are. You have lived those lifetimes where you have been fearful of where your next meal is going to come from, or whether someone is going to request of you that you lay down the body or offer the head. You've been in those lifetimes. So that was, as you would understand the linear time, that was back here. And you have come along and made for yourself other lifetimes of different experiences to the place now where you are past the middle point of that. You are ready to put into action the ideas that are coming to you. You are coming to a most wonderful point in the history of humankind, also a most important time in this geopolitical grouping, and those of you who feel that you are in the next geopolitical grouping, the countries, neighboring countries, but especially this geopolitical grouping, you are approaching a most wonderful time because there is a leader who is emerging, who has not yet come into full awareness of his, her power, but who has the vision and who has held this vision for some time, from the time that they were very little. And they have tried in various ways to make manifest a better world for their family, for their grouping, and for the world at large. And you are coming to a time when there is going to be a leader emerging who is going to be respected At first, it is going to be a bit, but only for a short time, an uphill battle, because there has been a disillusionment with your leadership. And many of you have felt that you wanted a change, that you wanted something to happen. And you have been looking outside of yourselves for someone else out there to do it, please. Well, what you are bringing forth in a short time now, as I measure time anyway, is one who is going to embody the visions that you are holding. Because this one is believing in the goodness of life and in the brotherhood, sisterhood of all humanity, and wanting to bring again respect for all life forms, human and otherwise, because we are not speaking just here of the human form. This one who is emerging, who has not yet spoken clearly enough that they are visible. I mean, they are visible, but not to the point of the clarity. This one is aware of life forms, all different ones, and has great respect for life. Also knows how the various threads of the tapestry that we spoke of last evening weave together. And this one knows how the certain workings have to, at least up to this point, work together. This one has tried various ways in the past and has found a way that is going to be emerging where there can be a coming together. Now, you have had a leader who has spoken that he would be a uniter instead of a divider. And you have wanted that, not only you in this room and within the sound of my voice, but the majority of the brothers and sisters. And that is why he was chosen to be leader, because that was the vision that everyone held and believed in and wanted. As you have seen, there has been anything but the uniting. But the division that you have seen and the energy of chaos has been good. It has served a wonderful purpose of showing you clarity of what you want and what you do not want. And it has shown you the effects of certain choices or non-choices. So I speak this to you now because in the days to come, and as I have said in my timing, it's not very far off, you are going to have one who is going to be coming from your heart. You are already, as the awakened Christ, formulating this person who is going to speak for you. Now, that is not going to take the responsibility off of your shoulders. You're going to be speaking as well. But you are in process right now of formulating this person. It may seem to be a far reach as you sit here now, as you hear these words now. And yet, in a short time, well, you have seen what happened last evening in a short time, there is going to be a shift, a great shift in leadership. And you are the ones who are in process of making this happen because you are envisioning, formulating, bringing together in clarity what you want. And you are joined by many of the brothers and sisters who up to now haven't felt that they had a voice. But because of your technology, they do have a voice. And they are making their voices heard. And it is going to have, and is already having, impact. So as you think of the brothers and sisters who are going through lifetimes that you have experienced, that you can resonate with, you can say, yes, I understand. I feel for them. I feel for their suffering. I am even in some of my relationships a microcosm of what they are going through, because I have my own times of conflict, my own times of challenge. So I am a bit of a microcosm of what I see out in the, as you call it, larger world. As you hold these ones in your heart, in love, know that you are bringing about great change, because you can see the possibility of change. You believe in change. Many of the brothers and sisters who are in a certain place of suffering or conflict do not have the hope of change. Some of the religious philosophical cultures are, because of generational thinking, a bit in the with the blinders on, in limited thinking, because that is the way it has always been. That is the way all of my ancestors have worshipped. That is what I have been taught. Some of them are into limited thinking, as are some of the brothers and sisters in this geographical, geopolitical. Beloved Scribe loves that word, geopolitical grouping. But then you have the country mouse and the city mouse, yes? We go back and forth with this from time to time. Some of the ones in your country are also of narrow thinking. But the majority in this country and in other countries are wanting the same thing. They are wanting to raise their small ones in safety, in security, in harmony, in love, to see them grow up to their full potential. They are wanting to know a certain amount of security in having ability to take care of the body and the dwelling place, the same as you do. And there is going to come a time, not too far off, when there is going to be a great contagion of hope, of change in this country, and it is going to spread to the leaders of other countries as well. As you have had the descent into density, into matter, into separation, into this reality, you are already in process of ascending. And I speak there as you are individuals and also as the collective, not only in this country, but on around the face of our Holy Mother, the Earth, this planet. It is happening. It is in process. And it is about time. And that is said on a couple of levels. It is about time, yes, it is about time and it should happen. It can happen, it will happen. But it is also about time as you measure time, because you are getting tired of waiting.
Yes.
Right. And so it is happening. So you are going to be seeing, already it is happening, voices speaking for respect of all life. Voices speaking of hope for the small ones to be able to grow up with the opportunity to realize all of their potential, whatever they choose their potential to be. Where ones do not grow up and have to group together in order to have a feeling of family and then to fight other groupings in order to defend what they feel their group to be. They are going to look beyond that. They are going to allow the barriers to fall. It is what you have been envisioning. So I say this to you now to give you a bit of the affirmation that that which you have been praying for and envisioning is in process, even if you can't see it. And you can see small bits, you can even see big leaps. And there are going to be even larger leaps that happen. And it is because of one such as you who have said, I know it can be different. I have changed, therefore I know that everything around me can and will and has to change. That is what the awakened, realized Christ does. It affects everything around it. That is how powerful the realized Christ is. Without having to get out there and do, now I'm not saying that you won't do, because you will do things, but just by being in a new place, with new perception, with new hope, with new knowing that it is going to be different, already you are making the change, because you know that it can be. Not only can be, but will be and has to be. We have said this many times to you, that when you change your perception about something, when you change your intention, everything else has to rearrange and change itself, because you are the creators. You are creating everything that you experience. And when you have intention to change it, when you know that you can change it, as you do now know, everything has to change. You have felt great love in the previous few days and in this evening. You have felt great love in this grouping. And those of you within the sound of my voice, you can feel the love even in the words and in the ambiance of this atmosphere that is coming across, even on magnetic tape or on any recording, even on the written, in through the written word. You have felt great love, so you know what it feels like to be able to expand, to trust, to go up to one and say, hey, you know, this is me. Sometimes I haven't really had a good hair day. But I'm still me. It does not really matter. I am still the same person. And all of you have been willing to accept each other. Sometimes you get up with a bad hair day. And you look in the mirror and you say, oh my goodness, I can't go out this way. I've got some of it sticking up funny. You know, I have a bedhead. Yes, it's a bedhead. I can't go out with a bedhead. But the other ones of your friends, they see perhaps that the hair is a bit different. But they don't care. Maybe ones haven't shaved. Does it matter? No, because you look to their heart. You look to who they are, and you see the love that they are, that they are willing to give. And your heart opens. And the appearance doesn't matter on the outside. What matters is the love inside. Now, my beloved friend and teacher, the one you know as Judith, doesn't like me to do that. But I take great pleasure in doing it. It is to put forward a point that truly appearances do not matter, but the heart does matter. You have felt great love as you made trek to come here. You have had, as we spoke on previous evenings, the decision that you had to make to come here, many challenges of things to arrange, many bridges to cross, even before you got there, to see that everything would be in order. And it is because you knew that there would be great love and acceptance and allowance for you in this grouping. And that is what you were seeking to have validated once again, so that you can now go out and with the brothers and sisters, you can validate them. Because you will not care, you do not care what they look like, but you do care what their heart is like. You do care how they hope for the best. They are looking for the best. They want to know the best of themselves and of the rest of you. And so as you are willing to go out and to joke to bring a little bit of the laughter forward, to make light of whatever might seem to be heavy. You allow the brothers and sisters to see that truly things can be different, because you know they can be, and that they are already changing and becoming different. May I, beloved brother?
Yes, it is.
It is a new chapeau.
Yeah.
A new, the baseball cap, but this one from Disneyland. Very good. Ah, and the wee mouse. The wee mouse that has been mighty for many, many years, bringing the laughter to ones. This emblem of the mouse has brought much light and much wisdom in a non-threatening way to generations. This, you call him Mickey, right? It is Mickey the Mouse. Okay, Mickey the Mouse. Very light in heart, but with much, much wisdom. That is what you are going to be doing as you go back and you play with the brothers and sisters. You are going to be putting forward much of the wisdom. Ah, there you go, you see. Keeps the rain off the back of your neck. Very good, very practical. Very good. And you are not going to be heavy about things. You are going to be as the mouse that knows the wisdom of laughter, that knows the wisdom of how to play. Thank you, beloved brother. In small ways, you change everything. And then as you look back, as you can look back upon this, what you call the comic character, you see how that character has made impact on generations. Allow yourself to be the comic. Some of you are already there. Others of you, you know how to do it, and you will be in the days to come allowing more and more of that to come forth, because you can't help yourself. It just feels good to be light and to allow that to come forth in laughter and in saying, well, you know, if you are in a grouping of coworkers, I've seen this happen. If you are in a grouping of coworkers and they're saying, well, I don't know how we're going to approach this problem. Perhaps we should approach it this way. And another one says, no, we should approach it this way. And then another one says, well, neither one of those ways, that's not going to work. And you say, wait a second, let's take a break from all of this heavy thinking. Let us breathe together. And as you will conspire, breathe together. That is what your word conspire means, to breathe together. There comes inspiration from the inner spirit, the breathing of the breath from the inner. Great wisdom. And then ones will say, well, you know, let's try plan C, D, E, whatever. We don't have to do the alpha, we don't have to do omega. We can do something in between, or whatever. But the breathing, as you conspire together with the breathing, all it takes is a moment to break the energy of the conflict and to say, let us breathe together. Just for a moment. It's not like you're doing anything religious. You are doing something spiritual, but it's not religious. Let us just breathe. Let's take a break. Time. You've seen that symbol? Time. Okay. Time out. Breathe. Ones then have opportunity to say, well, perhaps I don't have to stand so strongly in my position. Perhaps I can see things differently. And then you come to the agreement. Very powerful. And as you are breathing, if you put a bit of the humor into it, that is even better, the lightheartedness. As you allow yourself to smile, to relax all the muscles. Because when you have seen this with coworkers or with relationships, when you are in a place of being right up in each other's face, you've seen this. You've been there. You know how it feels. You're standing toe to toe. How's the body?
Tight.
Very tight. You say, okay, let us breathe together. What happens? You allow the body to relax for a moment. You let the lungs expand. They have to as you breathe. And as you do the deeper breathing, because you are more relaxed with it, there comes a time of the smile, the place of peace, where the smile comes. Remember these words. I am sending you out. I am sending you forth to be the light of the realized Christ. To walk amongst the brothers and sisters lightheartedly and yet with great wisdom. All of you have honed certain expertise in this lifetime and other lifetimes as well. So you can approach ones in a language that they understand, but you also are approaching them from a new perspective, from the place of the realized Christ. You will not use those words probably, but you will be in a place that knows who you are. And they will want to know, what do you know? And sometimes they will come from a place of courage and they will say, what do you know that I don't know yet? Other times they will just watch you, because they do watch you. They watch how you live. They watch how you come up over challenges. They watch how you come through anything that is in front of you that seems to be an obstacle. As you watch your brothers and sisters, you watch them, they watch you. You are great teachers, all of you. Now, having said that, it is a good time for a break. Again, to ingest some of the water and to release some of the water and to come back refreshed. 7 1/2 minutes. So be it. Beloved friends, peace be with you. Thank you. I am the one known as Joseph, earthly father to the one you have called Yeshua. And it is great joy that I have, as Yeshua has said to you many times, to be in your presence once again. Some of you have heard through my friend, the one you know as Judith, that I take great delight in having the opportunity to speak with you once a year at least. In your Holy Scriptures, I have mention. My name is in the Holy Scriptures even to this day, but I am what you would call the also mention. It has not been what you would see as a big write-up. But that is okay with me. There was a role that I was asked to play, to be earthly father to one Yeshua, to guide him, to be companion to him, to provide for him in his early years, to follow the guidance of the angels, and to keep him safe. This I did willingly and gladly. To keep safe his mother, the one you know as Mother Mary, and to love her as I have done and still do with all my heart, and to keep her always in safety. It was, as you would understand in human relationship terms, it was a great pleasure to be with the one known as Mary, mother to one Yeshua. And yet it was like all relationships, because she could be quite the Jewish mother. You understand that terminology.
Yes.
She is and was very loving, very compassionate. She works with you now. As you know, you feel her presence. She works with healing, oftentimes when you call for healing. She has always been a true companion to me, to Yeshua, and to all of you, as you will call upon her. So it was not what you would see as a hard decision to be mate to one so compassionate, and one so caring, and one so strong. For there were times when, as you know relationships to be, that we would have difference of opinion, and we would have our discussions, as you call them, sometimes the lower heat and sometimes higher heat. Yes. For human relationships are just that, human relationships. But always at the core, there is love. And this is what you know from your relationships, that it does not matter how many challenges there are with the true love. Always what it comes back to is the love that you have, the respect that you have for one another. If you have that in your heart, all other obstacles, events, circumstances pass away. They are temporal in each lifetime. And as you will understand, and I know that you do, sometimes you get very deeply immersed in any circumstance that comes right up in front of you that you have to deal with. And yet, in what you would call a century of time, what does that matter? The only thing that remains is love. So each time that you may come into conflict with yourself, because there are parts of yourself that you dialogue with from time to time, and you get into the shoulds, you get into the mind talk, chatter, and the mind says, this is what you should do, or maybe you should go somewhere and do whatever. Or if you get into a place where you are speaking with another incarnate being and you have difference of opinion, allow yourself to think forward another 100 years and ask of yourself, how will I see it in 100 years from now? Will I even see it? For there were times in that lifetime when I felt there were circumstances that were most important. And yet, I will say unto you now that they were as opportunities to behold the whole picture and to know love throughout all of it. I have been known in that lifetime as Joseph. Later on, I was known as Saint Germain, for I took another incarnation, and it is probably Saint Germain that is more well known or held upon a higher pedestal than one Joseph. But I will say to you that truly, it does not matter what pedestal you are placed upon. What matters is the importance of knowing human experience. Many times you are taught, and many times you have even felt yourself, that you wanted out of the human experience. Many times you have been taught that human experience is just to be suffered, to get through it the best way you can, and hope for the best. But in truth, it is important to know human incarnation and to make the most of it, whatever role you see yourself playing, and to play it, as my son has said to you, with joy, knowing your freedom to go put on the most fancy shirt. I knew this fashion. It is a very easy fashion to wear. It is a very good fashion to wear, from the masters in Tibet. Stand. Would you stand, please? We will have a fashion example here. Yes. Very good. You wear it well. There. That is much better. Yes, because that is how we wore it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you have here what is often a pocket. Yes, here there is a pocket, you see, back here. Very practical wearing. It comes together on the side, easily fastened. Fastened at the top. You have a certain dramatic flair. Yes. But it was very easy to wear, very comfortable. Sometimes in the back there would be the certain pockets as well for carrying. For when we traveled, it is missing a pocket on this side. Oh well, modern fashion, I see. Thank you very much. Oftentimes, it would be worn, as you are wearing it, the shorter length, tunic length, I suppose it is called now, and other times there would be the longer robe with the inside pockets as well. For when you are traveling, you want to have, well, you know this now, you have a most beautiful thing that you carry with you to hold what is necessary. That is most beautiful, thank you. Very nice fashion as well. But when we were traveling, oftentimes there would be a loaf of bread in one pocket and some cheese in another pocket, and inside the inside pocket, a bottle of wine, perhaps, because you did not know. You remember. Very good. He remembers. Because often we would travel great distances and you did not know if there would be a dwelling place, a friend who would take you in, and so you carried whatever you needed with you. You trusted, oh, you have a saying that has just come to me, to trust in the divinity but tie up your camel. You knew that one also. You traded in the camels. Remember.
I love camels.
There you go. There you go. Anyway, I have digressed.
Sorry.
I am speaking to you of the importance of human incarnation, of human experience. Not to put it down, as so often ones want to say, I am merely human, or I want to release the body and go to heaven where it is all bliss. You make your own bliss wherever you are. You do not have to release the body, make transition in order to know bliss. Right now in this evening with your laughter, you have known bliss. The importance of being human. That is why you have chosen the incarnation again, once again, as my son has just spoken to you a few moments ago. The importance of being human is to come to the realization that you are human and even more than human. You are the Christ, experiencing and expressing as the human, and to take great joy and pleasure in being human, to enjoy all of the senses of the body, the taste of the bread, the elixir of the wine, the aroma of the cheese well aged. To be with ones in a loving relationship where you reach out and touch. To know the sensation of touch. To know it in its harshness so that you can appreciate it in its gentleness. To appreciate the beauty of sight when you look upon the mountains, when you look upon the valleys, the flowing water of the streams, and the most beautiful iridescent dragonflies that fly above the water. To appreciate all of the senses that you have, and to know the beauty of being human, being able to reach out and to hug, to touch, to look with the eyes and to say with the eyes, not even with words, I know that which you are, and I love that which you are. I love the beauty that I see with the physical eyes, and even more, I love that which you are emanating from the heart, the love of being. It is the most blessed gift that you give to yourself in being human, in knowing human incarnation. It is not something that you want to escape from, although many times ones have that feeling that they want to escape from it, and the sooner the better, or that they want to drown the sensitivities with the various elixirs or substances. The ones who often go to alleviate the sensitivity by the use of the elixirs or the substances are the ones who are most sensitive. And they feel that this reality is too harsh to be in it. And so they want to escape. And yet they do not want to lay down the body. It is not ever a plan conscious to lay down the body. But sometimes the soul level will know that all has been completed. And then the body is released. But the most wonderful thing, as you have understood, is that even though the body may be released, the individualized energy, even personality, as you call it, lives on. This is a point that would be good to make right now, that as you know yourself to be certain personality, you call yourself by a certain name. What is your name, beloved?
Josie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know yourself to be Josie. And you have certain physical characteristics, certain personality, most bubbly personality I perceive. This personality and this individuated energy that you have brought together into the human incarnation never is extinguished. It goes into what you have as a concept form called the Akashic Records, and it abides there forever. And it is always available to be accessed. Any of the loved ones who have, as you call it, died, made transition, are accessible to you as you have known them. Now, the individuated energy that they understand themselves to be has opportunity to incarnate again and to live another lifetime experience and to develop another personality, to develop other talents, to evolve another form, whether it be human or whatever they choose. But the personage that you have known always abides. It is stored in the Akashic Records and is always accessible to you. This is an important point to remember, because oftentimes when a loved one releases the body and makes transition, there is a feeling of grief and loss. And you know that they are with you, because you have been told that, and sometimes they will even come to you, and they will even speak to you. And you know that their presence is there, but you feel that after a time, because again there has been this teaching, they are going to take another incarnation. And you feel, well, if they take another incarnation, then they are lost to me. Never. Every personage that has ever been is accessible at any time through the Akashic records. That is how you can access the one you have called Yeshua, Jesus, all of the great masters. They are not gone from you. They may have incarnated again, as I did, as the well-known Saint Germain. But as Joseph, I am still accessible to you. And I'm very pleased about it. In other words, you don't have to keep perfecting and perfecting and perfecting until perhaps a religious philosophical order or the world will recognize you as a saint and write you up in the books somewhere. You are already in the book of life. So you don't have to keep trying to perfect yourself so that you get to know sainthood. Sainthood truly is no better than what you are right now. Oh my goodness. The camel dealer. Always and forever. Now, as I have said, I had incarnation as Joseph, mate to my beloved Mary, father, earthly father, to Yeshua and his brothers and sisters. And it was a most wonderful incarnation, lifetime, that I enjoyed. I was known for my wisdom. I was known for healing properties, because I knew wholeness. I knew holiness beyond what you would understand the definition, religious definition of holiness. I knew the wholeness of spirit as it would incarnate. And so in the communities where we lived, oftentimes the ones would come to me for healing. And what I would say to them many times was of simplicity. It was to go and sit by flowing water, to drink of the flowing water, and to breathe of the wholeness of life. Now sometimes, as beloved elder, and I knew him as beloved elder in the Essene community, as beloved elder has said to you, there were times when the friends wanted to know a physical remedy. And so I had my beloved Mary, when she was willing, to go out into the fields and to collect some of the herbs and to grow some of them in the garden. Our little Yeshua was very good at growing in the garden, growing things in the garden, because he would speak to the plants and the herbs and encourage them, as he would speak to the animals, the birds, knowing oneness, always from the time that he was very, very small. And it was something that was known in the Essene community as well. He came with a knowing, and he came into a community that already believed and was of like mind, so that it was not a jolt. They did not see him as being a most unusual. Now he was a bit ahead, as you would measure development, in knowing his oneness. But the other children in the Essene community knew that as well. So there was much of love in the community. There were also the times when the elders of the community had their differences of opinion. Human relationships being what they are, there were differences of opinion. So again, it was an opportunity for one to stop, to breathe, and to come from love. You have writings in this day and time that speak of the Essenes and of the rituals. And there were Essenes who were very much into rituals, such as you have in some of your religious philosophical thought in this day, your groupings. Some of them are very much into the ritual of what has to be and how it has to be done. Otherwise, it won't work. Well, there were Essenes who were also of that thinking, that there were certain rituals, and you have writings that are extant even in this day that speak of the Essenes and the rituals. In fact, those are the writings that have been most preserved. But this was not true of all of us in the Essene community. In fact, the greater percentage of the Essenes were of what you would call now more liberal thinking, more of unlimited, not bound by ritual, although we could appreciate the ritual of going out at sunrise and being in the rays of the sun to understand oneness. We understood the basis of all of the rituals, and we also understood that the rituals themselves did not have any magic, but that we were the ones creating the rituals to remind ourselves of the blessing of being human and of being in nature and of being in the creations that we would bring forth. One of the creations that I have always felt oneness with is wood. I was well known for my artistry with wood. And to this day, every time I have the opportunity to feel oneness with the physical vibration of wood, it brings me great joy. I will always look for the workmanship of wood. Most interesting invention you have here. It is most wonderful to see. Ah, a piece of living wood. Every piece of wood has come from a living tree. Ah, very good, substantial piece. Let us see. Yes, very good. Is there a signature? No? No signature. Aha, there is. Ah, one cannot read it from that direction. Excuse me for a moment. I must read the way. Old hickory. Ah, a fine wood. A good strong wood. No wonder it is of such weight. Feel you the weight of this.
Oh, wow.
Yes, not quite the size of a camel. But solid. And you have told me, you have heard me tell you many times, if you want to know the blessing of vibration, allow the rear to sit upon the wood. Now, there is a bit of the padding in the way here, but there is still vibration that can be felt. But if you want to know the blessing of life itself, the vibration of life itself, sit you on a piece of wood. Put the rear on a piece of wood and allow yourself the deep breath. Drink in the vibration of life. Feel yourself one with that wood, which is still alive. feel yourself energized. Well, it's my favorite soap opera. Box. Soapbox.
Soap.
Yes, soapbox. Well, sometimes life is soap opera. But it is my favorite soapbox. Allow yourself to feel happy with a physical human incarnation. Know what a blessing it is that you have gifted to yourself. Allow yourself to play with all of the possibilities of what you can do with a body. How it feels to reach out and to touch the toes. How it feels to walk with the bare feet, or almost bare feet. How it feels even to walk. What a blessing it is to walk. You know that very well, beloved one. It has been a challenge that you have felt the blessing of. Very good. All of you have come through physical challenges to the place where you have wondered, is it worth keeping on, keeping on? And yet, it is it not, beloved brother?
Yes.
Such a smile, yes, it is very good. It is very good. The importance of being human. Do not put it down. Raise it up. Take the deep breath. Know the vitality of human incarnation. Bless yourself for having brought forth the form. Allow yourself to revel in all of the senses of the body, the sight, the hearing, the aroma, the sense of taste, the touch, the hugs that are given, the movement that can be made. Even if one is not under one's own power and is in the chair that has the wheels, there is life. Always there is the vitality of life going forward. Revel in it. The importance of being human. It is a gift. Make the most of it. For as my beloved son has said to you in previous times, this lifetime you will never live again. Other lifetimes you will live. This lifetime you will never live again, specifically. So make the most of it. Go in peace. Peace be with you.